Lord Jesus, that you open our minds to understand the Scriptures, and that you give us ears to hear. And we thank you for all this in the name of Jesus as we now start to praise your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for giving me a brand new life, Father, and changing my heart and changing me. And in doing so, Lord, you also gave me an awesome husband, Lord, four beautiful children, Lord, and just freedom, Father. And I pray, Lord, as we are singing this morning, Lord, help us to reflect on that, on the things that we're thankful for. Lord, you're going to change all the things in us that are yucky and junky, Lord. And we do continually ask you to do that, Lord, but help us just to focus on the good things, too, Lord, that you've already done in us, Father. We thank you for sending your Son, Lord. And as we were talking this morning, Lord God, we thank you for the blood, Lord, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, Lord. And there is no other way. We can't be good enough to do that, Lord. And we thank you for that way, Lord.
Hallelujah.
love these two new songs that we did last week, so we thought we'd do them again so we get more familiar with them. So I can too.
You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our
breath. us to use this breath and our tongues wisely. Help us to use it to build up and to love, Lord God, and not tear down.
Yes.
This morning, and they feel a little bit broken. Father, I pray that they just keep their eyes on you because you make us whole, Lord. For anyone here that comes with joy, Lord God, I pray that that just spills over, Father, and it touches others, Lord God. Father, I pray that as we are here today, we can feel like a close-knit family, Lord God, one that people love each other, Father. We can feel comfortable. We can be vulnerable, Lord God. We don't have to pretend like everything's okay, Father. And we do pray, Lord God, for your healing, Lord
up the broken to life. Oh,
Crazy when we're walking through this world alone, Lord. So many times, Father, you've reached out to us and we said, no, we just want to do it ourselves, Lord. I thank you for your patience, Father, and I thank you for your love, Lord, in that time. Father, when we said, Lord, I do want your help, you didn't look down at us and say, no way. You said no to me. You said, okay, thank you. Thank you for finally seeing. And you guide us, Father. Help us, Lord, to be examples to others, too, Lord. Help us not to be hypocrites, Father. Help us to say that if we're followers of Christ, Lord God, help us to truly understand what that means and to live it, Lord. Remind us of how great it felt to have your love wash over us, Father. So that when we see others in distress or others that are walking the way they're not supposed to, Father, that we don't look down at them, Lord, but we want to invite them into our freedom, Father. We don't give condemnation, Lord God, but we show what forgiveness is,
Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father.
Endless song that goes in.
Pray for this day, Lord God. We know that this is the day that you have made for us. And I pray, Father, that today, Lord, we are just going to get even closer to you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that we are going to have a celebration today, Lord God, of someone just bending their knee and saying, I'm fully one with you, Lord God. And I do pray for Manna. We just lift her up to you, Lord God, and as she's giving her heart fully, Father, that when she has those hard times, Lord God, that we're here to support her and to love her and to help her, Lord, but I pray that that Holy Spirit is so strong in her, Father, that she's constantly just running to you and just wanting to learn more from you, Lord. And when the enemy starts throwing that doubt at her, Lord God, we pray, Father, that your love is going to shield that, Lord. And there's not going to be any condemnation, Lord. But only love and just guidance, Father. And that loving conviction that you give, Lord, that helps correct us. We give this day to you, Lord. We just praise your name.
why she can sit there.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you, George. Amazing. What a wonderful body you have in so many ways. Oh, you know, as we were singing that song, there was a scripture that came to mind. You know, in Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel 37. In the valley of dry bones. You know, we live in a time, we live in a world. Even during this holiday season, you know, there can be a lot of dryness. And it says, I'm just going to share it with you. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of the valley, it was full of dry bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. If we look around today at the people around us, maybe even the people you work with, the people you're friends with, the people your neighbors, very dry. Maybe even that's you today, and you're very dry. And then he asked me, Son of Man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know that. Then he said to me, I want you to prophesy to these bones. And then say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he says, I will make breath enter you. I will attach tendons and I will put breath in you. And so he did what he commanded. He prophesied the word of the Lord over them. And there was a rattling sound. And bone came together on bone. And I look, and tendons and flesh started to appear. And the skin covered them. And as God is letting that word go through, as that word is washing you, as he's washing you with the water of the word, you know, I just feel those dry bones, you know, just the tendons and the flesh and the skin coming back on. I feel the washing, the living water washing over me, washing the dirt and debris of the world. And then he goes on to say, but there was no breath in them. And then he said, prophesy to the breath. He said, prophesy. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. And that, just to me, is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God coming into the life and into our lives and breathing us and just giving us that breath. You know, I can't remember the song because I'm at that ADD, and that was like 10 seconds ago. But it was a song that was about breath in our lungs. You know, I don't even remember. But it was a song about having breath in our lungs, that God is that breath in our lungs. And you know what? He is. He's the one that gives us life. He's the one that gives us purpose. He's the one that gives us identity. He's the one that is going to refresh us and build us. And apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. And so I just want to take a minute and let's just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to refresh us this morning. Can we do that? Father God, I just pray, Lord, and prophesy your word, your Holy Spirit would come upon each person here, Lord God, that you would just wash them clean, Lord God, that you would fill them, that you would be the breath in their nostrils, Lord, and in their lungs, Lord God, that you would be the oxygen that oxygenates their whole body, their spiritual body, and that you would bring them back to life, Lord God, that they can be the witness that you want them to be, to pass you along to other people that they meet and see, Lord God. For those who are down right now, God, I ask that you would fill each one of us, Lord God, and especially those who are hurting in some way. You know who I'm talking about. You know, Lord, you especially fill them up, but fill us each with your Holy Spirit, that we may be filled and overflowing with you, Lord, to a dry, dry world. And I ask that, Lord, in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, and amen, and amen. Praise Christ. So sorry, none of that was prepared. So hey, we're here today. That's good. Yeah. Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, to meet with the text, new baby is born. New arrival, Jasper Edward Smith. 11 and a half.
Jasper Edward Solomon Smith.
Oh, Edward, I'm sorry, Solomon.
He said to make sure you get it right.
Okay, did they? Anyway, 11 and a half house.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, Elijah, can you stand up for a second? No, no pressure. Okay, Elijah was about 6 pounds. That's 11 and a half. That's a big baby. That's a big baby.
So,
anyway, just continue to pray for them, if you would. And it's a wonderful time, and so very excited. Just continue to pray for them, and hopefully they'll be in here soon. But just pray that God will bless that little baby. And also, we have a little picture of the wedding. Can you see that? Now, if anybody has any pictures, now that I think the camera, the video went off halfway through, and some of the pictures didn't take. So, if anybody has any pictures, because some of our body was here taking pictures, if you would probably see this beautiful couple over here and give them the pictures, that would be awesome, awesome, awesome. So, but isn't that an amazing thing?
Yes.
Very, very cool. And it's just a fantastic wedding, and just excited to see. It's exciting to see what God is doing. I didn't get any ears. No, good deal. Didn't text you 10 times. But anyway, that's another story. There is some free Panera bread back there. There's loaves. We got about 20 loaves. I don't know if we have people started taking them. So if you get here early, that's a little benefit. You get the sugar and you get the bread. So we just want you to take it. Take them home as a free gift in Jesus' name. Also, for those of you who don't know, Winter Jam is coming. Okay, and that's Saturday, January 14th. And it's a concert, and it's got the Crowder Band, it's got Brittany Nicole, it's got 10th Avenue North, 1,000 Foot Crotch, new song.
Yes.
And yes, and so it's only $10, 10 smackaroonies to get in. And so if anybody wants to organize a trip for us and help lead us up there, let me know. And I want to make you aware of that. Also, the Jingle Run, 5K Run and Walk. Amberlee, since you're here, I want to make sure it points out to you, no pressure. But it's Thursday, December 22nd, and it's fun and family friendly. I think it's $35 for the 5K, and then after that, they block off the whole Main Street in Lakewood, and a big buffet and everything like that. So after you go run it all off, you can eat for an hour. So just see Tom Panhorst. I know our family's running, and I know Tom is, and so, and I'm walking. But anyway, so yes, so that's on the 22nd, okay, Thursday, December 22nd.
What time?
You know what? I didn't put that up there.
We have set up at night.
But is it at night? Yes, at night. It's really neat because everything's lit up and they block off everything, and it's beautiful. I'll double check.
It starts at first, right here.
Yes, or kids, it got like $11 for a kid's dash, but it's kind of fun. And honestly, I'll be walking, and yeah, I'm mad enough to say they'll be picking up the cones after me. But you know what? I'm going anyway. I'm running with Ezekiel, my son, but walking with him anyway. Also, the Barnabas Prison Ministry, if anybody's interested, please see George if we want to, just to help some folks out that are in prison and probably won't have any chance of getting on. George, is there anything you want to say? There's a microphone right there if you don't mind.
Yeah, some people asked me this morning if I had the list with me. I do. It's on the table over here. If anybody wants to pick a name out to take it right to them, I know they would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, and they're just brothers in the Lord who are in prison or got saved in prison, and they're going to be there for a long time, some for life. And so, yeah, if you want to do that or donate something to them for their account, so maybe for Christmas they can go get a little something special in the commissary or something like that. Jen?
Last year we collected cards. To send them so they could send to loved ones, friends, family. So yesterday we sent out over 150 cards.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you. That's their cards. Let them be an encouragement to those guys. It's wonderful. Thank you, Jen, for sharing that.
Yeah.
What a blessing. Also, it's this Saturday, right, Sue?
Yeah, right.
Man, everything's happening so fast.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, what happened? Okay, so this Saturday, the 10th, at 6 p.m., it's going to block that off. We're having a party at Sue Berger's home. If you don't have directions,
they're on the back.
They're on the back, but right there. And we're just going to have a little bonfire, a dinner, and a $5 gift exchange.
Yeah, or less.
Or less.
Don't let the gift keep you from coming.
Absolutely.
It can be anything.
Yes.
It's a game. It's more than, it's not.
I've got toilet paper. That should tell you sometimes.
Grab it.
Practical.
Grab it. You know.
up and grab it so we don't know what it is. And Tom Campbell is going to MC the exchange. It's just a fun thing. So bring a gift for each person that's going to participate. It can even be something homemade, you know, just, you know, something.
And something funny or something.
Funny, silly, cheap, you know, whatever. It's the variety that makes it fun.
Yes. Anthony was going to get something real special. It was an 8x10 glossy of himself. Yes. So it was very exciting. Very, very. So whatever. You know, whatever.
Things are fighting about over here.
That's right.
Hey, Darren.
Yes, yes.
Adam said it was not going to be a little bonfire.
Oh. It's going to be a big, big,
big bonfire. Fair enough. Big bonfire. I stand corrected.
Huge.
So the kids will walk hard and just a fun time.
If you want to sing around the bonfire.
Yes.
You know, those who play the guitar instrument, if you want to bring
whoever.
It. Whoever. It's up to you. I have a piano, you know, if you want to do some tennis.
That's great. I'll sing.
Yeah.
I'll sing. Yeah. I'll try to sing quiet, make everybody feel better. Okay, so that's this Saturday. So carve that out. Also, guys, now Christmas is Christmas Day is on a Sunday, so we're just going to have a Christmas Eve service in lieu of that. So folks will be kind of with their families or with their kids or just. And so we're going to do a Christmas Eve service,
which
is very new. Thank you, thank you. And it's going to be a family dinner. We're going to have it catered. Now, somebody said. And somebody was wanting to make all this stuff, so I'm not sure if it's going to be catered by outside source or it's going to be catered by someone here. But we're going to have a little family dinner at 5 o'clock, and then Josh is going to bring us the Christmas message. And so that's very exciting. That's December 24th on Christmas Eve. So we'd love to have you guys come out for a family dinner, and it's just going to be very casual, like we always are. And so I want to make mention of that. Okay, so no Sunday. Okay, also, I didn't have a chance to tell everybody this. I know there's a lot of stuff. If anybody wants to come over to the house
today,
I know, usually we tell you this in advance, but hear me out. There was a young lady that we met with, met with last week, spent about an hour and a half, and we talked about baptism and what it was, and she just wanted to get baptized, and she wanted to just fully walk with the Lord, and she wanted to put her fears behind her, and she's even scared to kind of do the baptism and tell people, but we want to invite anyone that wants to come over to our house after church. We haven't even cleaned the house. You're just going to get us raw. I mean, just is what it is. So we're just going to cook some hot dogs, okay? We're going to grill hot dogs, but we're going to get in the freezing water with Rihanna. And she is very determined. She doesn't want to wait. She doesn't want to wait until it's nice and warm. She wants to do it now. And Gary, come over. Okay, can you help me do that? Okay, so we just want to invite you guys over for a little bit for lunch. And you know what? As always, we'll give a time. If God gives you a word for her or you want to pray over her, you want to open it up to the body, because sometimes God will do that. So we want to do that too. So, okay? I know it's last minute, and if you have plans, don't be like mad or feel guilty or whatever. You already have plans. We completely understand. It's just we're going to do this. She wants to do it now, and we want to support her. But if the body wants to join in and you can come, we would so love you to be there. Does that make sense? Yes.
So, first of all, we already get to the roll all the time. And then are the hot dogs going to be in the roll too?
No, I'll actually grill them.
So Jen was wondering if she was afraid to ask.
Yes, yes. We're
you got gas, right?
That's what a purse usually is.
Usually.
We don't need to discuss that in the middle of service. I have propane. But that's what you're asking. I know this is the, you know.
Just got to make sure.
Okay. I hate to throw this on you, but if you could absolutely grab some hot dogs and buns.
I'm way over there. And maybe the ketchup mustard and all
okay. So no pressure there. Okay. And oh yes, Nate, come on up here.
All these concerts that we're talking about and everything. We got one more concert to tell you guys about. We've got a poster in the back. But so take a look at it on your way out. This Tuesday night, actually, there's two events or two performances at 3 o'clock and at 7 o'clock at the Vanity Performing Arts, Randy Estelle and La Voce, which is a three tenors that sing. Randy Estelle is a concert pianist that's performed all across the United States. And I get the chance to play along with them. So I'm excited about that. It is a Christmas thing. The tickets are between $20 to $35. It is at the Manatee Performing Arts Center downtown at the riverfront. So if you guys are looking for a special treat, Christmas events, it is all focused around the Lord and around his birth, and it's going to be a good event. So anyway, Erica is taking the tickets, or as you can see, Erica for tickets if you're interested. Thank you.
All right. Randy Estelle does love the Lord. So Randy Estelle and Ceviche. Yes, hi. Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Amanda and Josh got home from the hospital about 2 days ago. They were there for too long, 3 days. I'm not really sure why. She did not have a C-section.
That's in a half-town baby.
Yes, but the baby was already announced. No, so I don't know. So at this point, his mom has been providing meals for them every day, which is really awesome. But we want to take up some of that. So I'm going to be sending that out, God willing, today, to your emails, because I can't find a way to do it through text. If someone knows a way to do that, I'd love that. But it just seems to be, it seems to be you have to send to their email.
Yeah.
With the hand in the neck. Anyway, so I have the phone directory with the emails from May of this year. I don't know if there's a more recent one, that's the one I have. So if you're not in that directory and you want to get an invitation to bring them a meal, you can talk to me today, give me your email, or you can call me later or text me or whatever. But we just want to show them love and support.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm going to skip that. Okay, hey, I have two kids left, you guys, just because two of the books left, we handed out about 14 of them. So Visions and Dreams, this is from Voice of the Martyrs. They work with the persecuted church. This book is called Dreams and Visions. This is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World by Tom Doyle. We handed out about 14 between our Old Testament teachings, and on Sunday, so I only have two left. Is there anyone who wanted one, who did not get one, who will read it?
April already got it. We already have one.
Okay, anybody else? They got two left. Okay, great. Give you the nice, glossy one for you. All right.
Over there.
We got one more? Okay, Mark, did you bring this back there? Thank you. Back in that area over there. And also, I got one of these left. One of the youth at our First Kings study on Thursday night. Said he just finished, I can't remember if it was Ricardo or Jason, right. He just finished This Present Darkness, and he was like blown away. He's like, I never knew that whole spiritual warfare thing. It was so awesome. And so I have one book on this. If you will read it, I want to offer it to anybody else. I know we handed a bunch of these out too, but I have one left. Okay, Jack, you read it? Okay.
Very good book.
All right. Can I could you go give it to him? Yeah, he's the young man in the back by him. Okay, all right. We are an equipping center. Hey, you know what? Just to encourage you guys, you know, we're constantly handing out CDs and books. You know, I was with a family for Thanksgiving. They used to go to this church, and they moved to another coast. And the other coast, and they came back, and I was just handing out some of the stuff, and the wife stopped me and talked to me privately and said, you know what? And she said something really that was very special, at least to me, and she said, you know what? They go to a church, they've got so much talent in this church, but they were just really so hungering and thirsting for some. She said, you know what? I just want to let you know, we really took this church for granted. The equipping that you do, handing out CDs, books, always trying to equip us with the word. Just like, you know, now that we've been here a few years now, I'm desperately searching through all my stuff. Where's the book that they gave me? Where's the CD that I can re-listen to? And so I just want to encourage you in that. Take advantage of some of this stuff that you're being given. And And the last thing, George, you said you had those CDs, those God's Sovereign, George?
Yes, sir.
God's Responsibility?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I'm writing on each one of them now.
All right. I'll hand those off.
Do you want me to write some more?
Some of those that got handed out are in MP3 format, and so they won't work in regular radios or regular CD players. So George has remade them so that they will work. And what it is since we're in Romans chapter 9, it's talking about God's sovereignty is the primary focus of it, but there's a balance, God's sovereignty and responsibility. If you would like one of those CDs, raise your hand. And George, would you... Good. George, would you mind doing me a favor? Handing a few of those out back there. Young man back there, a couple over there.
Were all ones you handed out in the third one?
Yes. All right. George, keep your hand up. George is going to bring one to you. Okay, we are, if you guys are interested in any Bible study this week, men's Bible study Tuesday in 2 Samuel. Dinner and Bible study. What time?
6 o'clock. Let me have one I can copy, honey.
Oh, wait, okay.
Okay, great. Mark? Oh, yeah, you're right. You're ahead of me. Yeah, okay. And then Thursday night, where it's barbecue and Bible study. And Tom, your message is on?
Compromise.
Oh. I'm guessing it's not to be that.
Right.
Correct. Okay, fantastic. Okay. All right, so we are in the book of Romans, chapter 9. If you guys would open your Bibles, Chris, can you deliver a few? Romans chapter 9. So, yes, we'll follow along. We are somewhere in Romans 9. You probably have to ask me. I don't remember. That was minutes ago. Minutes ago. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Not this week, but the next week we are going to have like a mini women's Christmas party. We always have one, but this year it seemed like we were too busy, and then some of the women came to me and said, "We're not doing anything? Are you kidding me?" So we're going to have something small, but so if you want to do something for that, come and see me, or come and see Rebecca, okay? We're just probably going to get together in our pajamas, as always, as our tradition, and Blaine, of course, because we have to have a chance to wear a Blaine, and just get together and have like a little potluck and things like that. So I'll have more information next week, but just want to let you get the heads up.
Is it more for older women, or younger women, or both?
It could be for both.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody.
Not that you're old, anything.
Be very careful there.
So it's not for women. What was the date? That would be the 13th, yes. A Tuesday night. So we're taking back up our Tuesday nights.
All right, we are talking about God's sovereignty in Romans chapter 9. And so we left off, I think, in in verse 13 of Romans 9. I'm not going to, since that took a long time, we still have communion. I'm going to go through some of this. So, we left off with, just it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Okay, now we talked about that for a minute. So can anybody tell me, if somebody says, you know, and you guys have maybe seen, unfortunately, Christians who do this, I get so frustrated. I actually get angry, to be honest with you. Where you'll see signs, and I purposely didn't put stuff on here, but there we go. That God hates you, and using some of these verses, that God hates you, God hates this person or that person, but Corinthians says that's what some of us were. You know, some of us here were drug addicts or adulterers or liars or thieves. That's what we were. That was our lifestyle, you know, before we got saved. And God loves us. So if somebody said, well, with this verse, what would you say? What's one thing that you could share? And if not, nobody says anything, and I'm just going to repeat what I said. What's one thing you could share? Jacob, I love. Esau, I hated. Wow, so that means God hates certain people? What does that mean?
Well, he doesn't like hairy people.
Seriously. What? Yes?
He knows who is going to choose him.
Yes.
He knows.
That's right. God doesn't choose Valley Girl style. Oh, I pick you. I listen to you. He knows the end from the beginning. We talked about this too. We talked about, is it through here? We talked about the foreknowledge of God. So in between, God's sovereignty is on one side. People like to fight about it. Man's responsibility. People like to fight about it. But God, in His Word, teaches both. and that foreknowledge is the bridge. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Yes. So God foreknew what Esau's choices would be. Good. What else? What else would you say? Anything else? Go ahead, yes? He despised his birthright. Do you remember that? He didn't care. He sold it for the forge. But what about the word hate? What about the word hate? Does that mean like you and I think of it? I hate you. Is that what that means? What does it mean? Does anybody remember? Yes, that's a guy.
Isn't it a comparing word like they used it?
Yes.
That's exactly right. Good job. Yes, in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, we read that as a comparison word, where Jesus would say, hey, if any man, what does it say? Somebody read it for me. I've got it in the top of my head, but I just don't want to mess it up. Somebody read that for me real quick.
If anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Right. It's a comparison word. It's not saying God would never say you're supposed to hate your wife or you hate your husband. That would be against Scripture. You hate your children or you hate your parents. He's saying it's a comparison word. Your love for the Lord should be so great that it's almost like hate in comparison to your love for others. And even, I didn't give the Scripture, but in Genesis, when he was talking about Leah, it's in Genesis chapter 29, 30, and 31. It talks about how... Isaac's love for Leah and Rachel, and it says how he loved them, but he loved Rachel more. And then it says in the next verse, it says that God opened Leah's womb because he saw that Leah was hated. And it wasn't, again, that hate, it's a comparison. That it's a comparison word. So also, we remember we read from last week, it's not like God hated Esau and he wasn't blessed. He was blessed in many ways. If you read Genesis 36, man, he was blessed in many, many ways. When Jacob was coming back, 400 men greeted him. You remember the whole story. He sent out all these gifts. He's like, just don't kill him. You know, he had many things. He's like, I don't need all this stuff. I'm already blessed. I got plenty. And so, yeah. And also, again, that little scripture there is from Malachi. And if you go back to Malachi chapter 1, 1 to 5, you know, if we take it in context, he's talking about them nationally, the people they become. And they eventually, of course, become the Edomites, for those of you who aren't here, descendants of Esau. And you remember the last Edomite king, they became perennial enemies of the Jewish people, of God's people, wanted to kill them and destroy them. And God knew all this stuff. God knew it all. And so, you know, even to the last king, the last Edomite king was the Herods who tried to kill all the babies, tried to kill the Messiah. Remember that? So there you go. Okay. He goes on to say in verse 14, what then shall we say? Is God unjust? And of course he says, not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Listen, in this day, the Jews thought to themselves that they were like entitled to God's mercy, you know, because of their lineage. We were descendants of Abraham. We're entitled to this mercy he gives us, or that they deserved it because of their good works. Because how they kept the law. And God is trying to tell them, it is not about that. You know, it is not about your lineage. It is not about your good works. I remember talking to a guy, and boy, he was so self-righteous. I remember him arguing with me. He's like, my dad's a pastor. And my dad's dad's a pastor. My dad before him was a pastor. And I was a pastor. We're talking about Jesus. And I was like, well, that's a pretty impressive heritage. That's a great line, but do know Jesus Christ? Is your life given over to him? You're never going to make it in on your mama's coattails, or your daddy's, or Uncle Tom's.
Or your pastor.
Or your pastor, or your church. It means nothing. It's your relationship is between you and Jesus alone. Not your husbands, not your wives, not your families. It's you alone with the Lord. And so we're in a dangerous position when we start to think that, you know, we deserve God's mercy, or God is somehow, you know, obligated to give us mercy, like we deserve it or something like that. I think we're in a little bit of a dangerous spot. Because if we deserve mercy, then it's not mercy.
No, it's right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think I have this. My slides. We'll see if I do. Thank you very much. Skip some of those ones. Okay. Justice is getting what you deserve, and mercy is not getting what you deserve. Listen, we all deserve. Every one of us has sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Can anyone say here they don't sin? Please raise your hand. Okay. Absolutely not. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And so we can never think that we're deserving of that mercy, because we're not. You know, God is a fair God. And he is never not fair. Okay, hear me out here. Okay, God is never not fair. He's good. And so, but you can't say God is never, and I'll even go on to say God is never less fair, or less than fair with anybody. But he can be more fair with others. What does that mean? Okay. You guys remember the story in Matthew chapter 20? Turn there real quick with me. Okay? God is never less fair with anyone. But God can choose to be more fair or more generous with anyone who chooses.
Matthew what?
Is that Matthew?
Matthew chapter 20, if I remember correctly. Turn there a second. Just a second. My Bible's falling apart. Remember, a Bible that's falling apart is usually owned by a life that isn't falling apart. All right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, Matthew chapter 20. You guys probably remember this story. It's the parable of the vineyard owners or the landowners. And Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a landowner who went out early to the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. And he agreed to pay them a denarius and sent them out to his vineyard. So picture this. So here's the landowner, right? Kingdom of heaven is like this. He's a landowner. That's the word. And he went out early in the morning to hire men. So he probably went down to the marketplace where they're all gathered, but they don't have a job. They're desperate, and they want to work. And so they'll work for anything. Right? You know, if you're desperate for work, if I don't work, I don't eat. So I'll work for, I'm here to work. Somebody hire me. And so he agrees, verse 2, this is super important. He agreed to pay them a denarius for a day. That's the same pay as a Roman soldier would get. That's way more than a day laborer would have gotten. So that is super fair. And they agreed to it. They're like, wow, we get to work and we're going to get a whole denarius? This is fantastic. Okay? And then he sent them to work out the vineyard. And that was about 6 a.m. About the third hour, that's 9 a.m., he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you also go and work at my vineyard, and I'll pay whatever is right. And they're just so desperate, we'll do anything. Just let us work, we'll take whatever. He went out again in the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and asked them, why are you still standing around all day long doing nothing? He said, because no one hired us, they answered. And he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. So when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired, going to the first. So verse 9 says, the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So here the guys come at the last hour. They were so desperate, they think they're not even going to be able to eat. But here, the vineyard owner said, I'll take you anyway, and you work, and I'm going to give you the same amount of pay as the folks that I agree at 6 a.m., right? And that's just salvation. That's a picture of salvation. And so he's like, I'm going to give you the same pay. So they're like, oh, wow, thank you, Lord. And then everybody else was so happy that the people who came at the 11th hour was given the same wage. No, it doesn't say that. Look, it's just like us to feel jealous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Selfish, a little self-centered, okay?
Not fair.
What about me? Yeah. And then it says, so when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, even though they already agreed on the pay, and it was very generous. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against each other. That's a real strong word in the Greek. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us. And that's a key word. Who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. If I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you, don't I have the right to do that? Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So listen, there are some of you, honestly, who have been saved as a young kid, and you've been following the Lord for a long time, and you've lived a long life, and you've honored him, and it's been very difficult for you, but you've honored the Lord. But there's some like me who got saved in his 30s, okay? But you know what? I'm going to receive the same reward as eternal life. Now, there might be someone, now some people get upset at this, it's some deathbed conversion. You know, honestly, if it's from their heart, rejoice in it. Don't be thinking, well, that's unfair. God's showing too much mercy and compassion to them. Really? God's going to have mercy on you. He'll have mercy and compassion on the life of compassion. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows the person's heart. Or her heart. Yes.
Also, in the picture of the worker, it's not quite the same as the salvation.
Following the Lord is a blessing, and he makes like every day of our life amazing if you let him. So, I mean, really, we should have compassion on this poor person that it took him till their deathbed to get on board. I mean, you could have had a much better life. That doesn't mean it would be easier, but it would be easier because you're going to have trouble no matter what. And if you have the Lord with you, giving you peace and understanding and wisdom, you're going to have a much easier time of life. So we should feel sorry for these people.
Part of it is, too, is perspective, too. Because you know what? When they were hired, I'm sure they were so happy, right? They were happy to do the work. They were happy to get the pay. It was so generous of this vineyard. Oh, wow, you picked me. And I get to work, and I get to make this generous wage. Oh, thank you, Lord. But then as time goes on, some of us can now think, maybe some of us here, well, this is a lot of work. This is a pain being a Christian. You can have that mindset.
Yeah, sure.
Why don't I have it easy like that person?
Well, that's the flesh.
That's the flesh in us.
Yeah. I think what you just said is kind of what the parable is getting at, is that there's a tendency as we are longer in the faith to assume some kind of equation. That because I've done this and I've lasted so long and I've been good and I've done my devotions and I've gone to church every Sunday and I pray every night or whatever equation that we manifest in our own brain and heart, we should then, this should equal out to my kids should do well, my job should be okay, my home should be secure, you know, whatever it is. And then when it doesn't necessarily work that way, we become discouraged or disgruntled when God never said it was an equation. God never guaranteed a result.
Yes.
And I think that we're all susceptible to that.
Yes.
You know, I know I have been in my life when things have gone extremely haywire from what I had anticipated. You know, to have to rethink that. Wait a minute, God never guaranteed a result. Why am I doing what I'm doing to get the result that I hope God will guarantee? Or am I fulfilling what God wants me to do because it is truly my heart's desire to serve Him? And I think that that's where, you know, what Jesus is trying to get to here is what were the motives of hearts and what are we really after?
And also that we can trust Him. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good word. We can trust Him. You know, He'll have compassion on who He has compassion. If He wants you to get somebody at the last hour, you know, He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. Go ahead.
So, 2 years ago when I did the Bible lesson for the kid during the five-day club, we had a lesson on this. And it talked about how God is a fair God, but it also talked about how He's a just God. Which means it was really hard to teach them that because they think, you know, God is this loving God. Why would He want to hurt you? We use that as in, like, you know, when you get in trouble, your parents punish you, right? Because they're trying to teach you to be better. And like it says up there, it's getting what you deserve. And I don't think it's fair that, you know, Jesus had to die on the cross, or that those missionaries over, you know, in Africa or whatever, they're getting tortured day after day after day. But in the end, they have a spot in heaven where they will live eternally in peace. And that makes it all worth it.
You why?
I mean?
Yes, and why do we get to, you know, I don't know. We'll read about that in a second. Some are, you know, vessels for noble use. You know, you've got your Billy Grahams, and some are being, you know, tortured over in Africa, like you're saying. You know, but God is using all these things for His glory. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to go through that. And it's not only mercy. Look at the next verse here, verse 17. God's sovereignty is not only seen in showing mercy to some, but also in hardening others. And so, you know, and we have to trust God in this. Look at verse 17. He says this: "For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, 'I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.' Therefore, God has mercy on whom He wants to have mercy, and He hardens whom He wants to have hardened." You remember the story, right? As there, Moses is trying to let the calling out to God, sent him to let all those people go. They were in bondage and captivity. You remember all that?
Yeah.
And you know, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But even in that, and they're talking, remember, they're talking about God's sovereignty. But I want you to remember something. So you even see man's responsibility in this. Listen, and that light just for a second there, Elijah. There's in that little, in Exodus 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever that is in there, when this is going on, you see the word hardened used approximately 20 times, okay? About half those times, it's used where God hardens His heart. And about the other half, it's used with Pharaoh's hardening his own heart. And so Moses would go, and there's even different words. One is kashah, that's the middle one, number two. And that means to make harsh or difficult, like when he made them make the extra bricks without the straw and stuff like that. But there are two different words even for hardening, okay? And I'd like somebody... Josh, if you want, wouldn't mind going to Exodus chapter 8, 15 to 32. There's one word for hardening of a heart, and that's kabed, and in Hebrew. And so, and I want you to read this as Exodus chapter 8, verse 15 or 32, for example. And what this means is this word for heart, kabed. It means to make thick. It means to make heavy. It means to desensitize. So each time Moses is going, you're going to see that Pharaoh is taken, and he's going to say he's hardening his heart. And what that means is he's desensitizing his heart. Just like, you know, that's what sin does.
Yeah.
In the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. Okay? Now, I always thought when I was younger, if somebody had leprosy, like their fingers would just fall off and stuff. I didn't understand. But what actually happens when you have leprosy is the nerves become desensitized. And so what happens is you could have been walking on a road, and because it's so desensitized, the leprosy, the nerves, you might have stepped on a nail, and you don't even realize you're doing it. And you're walking around town doing stuff, and your foot is being shredded. That's the picture of sin. That's what it does to our hearts. It desensitizes us, and you don't even realize what's going on. So that's what's happening with Pharaoh. He's hardening his heart. What does that say in those couple verses?
15 through what?
Just 8, 15, and then 32. Okay.
But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said.
Okay.
And go to 32.
Yeah.
But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and did not let the people go.
Okay, and then 9:34. I'm going to make you do one more just because you got the Bible right in your hand. You have the mic there handy. What does it say?
But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart.
Who sinned?
And his servants. Yeah. Pharaoh.
Yeah. And he hardened his heart again. So even when they're talking about God's sovereignty, it's also, so what's happening is there's this combination of God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. He's hardening his heart. Hardening's desensitizing. He's making it thick, heavy, dull, like we do when we sin, right? And then God says, okay, you want to go that direction? And then we have a different word. And that word is kazak. Kazak. And that means to harden, to make firm, or to confirm. In other words, you're desensitizing your heart. You want to keep going that direction? Okay, I'm now going to harden your heart. That should be a sobering thought to any of us who thinks that we're going to dabble in sin. Or for myself, that thinks, oh, I could just dabble in a little sin here because I'm so great in all these other areas. Right?
Yeah.
Harden my heart. Harden my heart. Eventually, God's going to say, do you want to go that way? Wow. What does that one say? Amy, since you have your... You're right there, and the mic is right there. What does like 9:12 say, for example?
Okay, 9:12.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're back to Romans?
We put it back to Romans.
Okay, that's right. Sorry, I thought you had it handy there.
Yeah. Okay. 9:12.
Old Testament.
It's the Bible.
Here we go.
But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses.
So there's even different words for that. So we even see it there. And so, back in Romans, he's like anticipating a question. And he says, one of you might say to me, then why does God blame us? For who resists his will? And then he goes on to say, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God? What shall what is form say to him who formed it? Why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of that same lump of clay some for noble purposes and then some for common use? In other words, and there's two scriptures that come to mind from Isaiah here. There's this one in Isaiah when God was saying, hey, these people are coming near me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he goes on to say in Isaiah 29:16, you turn things around. Shall the potter be considered equal with the clay? That what is made should say to its maker, he did not make me. Or what is formed say to who formed it? You don't have any understanding. Or Isaiah 64:8, yet you, Lord, are the Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are just the work in your hand. What's our responsibility? We're the lump of clay. We're the dirt. He's forming us. Here's our responsibility. Just two things. One is remain moldable. Remain moldable or responsive as he's molding you. Don't fight against him. Do you know what I'm saying? He's trying to mold you and conform you into his image. Don't fight him. That's right. You need more water. And that's the water, the living water. As he pours it on you, he softens your heart as that washing of the water of the word goes over you. Be moldable in his hands. Be moldable. Be responsive to him. When he's speaking something and shaping you into something, don't fight him on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And also, here's the second thing in our responsibility, is remain in the potter's hands.
Amen.
We always try to go our own way. Don't kick against the goads. God's leading you. He's directing you. He's forming you. Allow him to do what he wants to do in your life.
You ever work with dry concrete?
Yeah. No. Oh, yes, I have actually. Yes. Putting in the
fence. You have to pound it.
Yeah.
You have to work it really hard.
Yeah. And it doesn't work right.
Oh, it works. It'll eventually get there. But you have to really work with your heart. If you add water, it's just a smooth gliding surface.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got pits, you got holes, you got cracks.
Yeah.
The more water is added, the easier.
Right.
That plane will be made. All
right. Absolutely. It's good.
Good example.
He goes on to say this. He says, what if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the object of his wrath prepared for destruction? You know, in context, he's talking about Pharaoh's time. You know, he waited a long time, hundreds of years. By the way, just so you know, he told that to Abraham way back when in Genesis chapter 15. He told them that they were going to be held captive as people for 400 years before they're free. And so God already knew all this stuff was going to happen. But he says that right here. What if he decides to do that? What if he decides to show his power and to show his by making his power known before with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? And two things right there. Has he done that with us? Hasn't he been very patient? Maybe some of you got saved and you're real little, and if you did, praise God. But for me, he was very patient with me. I can't believe that I got saved. How I used to argue against the Lord. I was brought up in the church, and I thank you, Lord. And that just shows his heart that the Lord is, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He's patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's our God.
Would that say something?
Yeah.
As a reminder of like last week?
Yes.
Because some people weren't here. But when he says, God loved one and he hated the other, or predestined.
Yeah.
Well, and people would say, does that mean that if so-and-so wasn't chosen, then he can't come to the Lord?
Right.
He knew that person's never going to bend the knee to him. And so it's not that he chose him to not be saved.
Right.
He just knows that person's not going to choose him.
That's a good word. And that's a good point, too, because when it says the objects of wrath prepared for destruction, it doesn't say that God is preparing them for destruction. They're doing that themselves. Listen, just really quickly, I know this thing, Matthew chapter 25, really quickly, or you don't even have to turn there, but I'm going to turn there. I just want to read you one thing. When he's got the sheep and the goats together, Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, remember the story? Verse 34, let me go there really quickly. Oh, my eyes are so old. Verse 34, it says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, now listen to this, prepared for you since the creation of the world. So for those who are being saved, he's saying, I've prepared this kingdom, it's for you, right? I've prepared it for you since the creation of the world. But if you'll notice, he doesn't say that when it goes down to the other side, when he's talking about the other folks down in verse 41 here. He goes on to say this, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Give me just a second. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for you. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say?
The devil and his angels.
Prepared for the devil and his angels. That's right. Does that make sense? Back even this last little bit of Romans, what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us whom he called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. And then he goes on to say this, as it says in Hosea, and in verses 25 to 29, God just declares the right to call the Gentiles to salvation if he wants, and to choose a remnant of Israel for salvation. He says, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And it will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the Israelites be like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth and with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left descendants, we would become like Sodom and like Gomorrah. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith, but Israel who pursued a law of righteousness has not attained it. Why not? And here's the reason. Because they pursued it not by faith, but as it were by works. From the very beginning, right? Abraham believed promise. Abraham believed God's promise, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And they stumbled over the stumbling stones, as it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. The one who trusts in him, that's Jesus, will never be put to shame. And this last verse kind of comes to mind for me. Is this 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 22 to 24. You know, the Jews demand signs and the Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greek, right? Slave or free, male or female, we're all at the foot of the cross equal, right? We're all sinners. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And unfortunately, they were stumbling over that. And so, Mark, can I ask you to come up here just for a second? Just if I could ask you just to say a few words for communion as we hand out the elements too. And then if you would just kind of close us out in prayer, I would appreciate that. Okay. Thank you, brother. Very much appreciate it.
This is kind of an unusual communion message, but when I'm done with it, I'm sure the Lord will show you why he did what he did. You know, we just had a recent election, and at the end of it, there was a lot of discord on one side and the other side, and everybody was upset with everybody else. And they were talking about, we need to walk in unity. We need to be unified with each other. And I asked the Lord a very pointed question. I said, Lord, how can we be unified with those who don't believe in you? There is no unity. Because it says, you know, what has the temple of the living God to do with idols? He said, Mark, he said, I don't start with unity. He said, I start with reconciliation first. And he took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and starting in verse 14. This is where God starts with us, because all of us are estranged from him. When we are born of Adam, we are estranged from him, and he needs to start. We need to be reconciled. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we know him that way no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. That's what he does. He makes us quantitatively new. He doesn't use any of the old things that were past, but we are brand new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come.
Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that word reconciled means he paid the redemptive price. There was a price that was paid, and he was the one that paid it. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He's the one that did the work. Our job is to receive that. And the next question is, what does that look like? This is where the unity comes, because we are reconciled to him. Now we can be unified in the Spirit of God and in the body of Christ. And this is in Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. It says, I therefore, this is Paul's, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. This is what happens after the reconciliation, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So this morning, as we take the bread and the cup, we can now be unified with Christ in one body, one Spirit, because he reconciled us to himself. Now we can walk in unity as the body of Christ. And it's all because of the blood that he shed on the cross. He shed that blood so that we could be made right with him. So as we take this morning, if there's any area in your life or my life that I need to be reconciled to God, guess what? He's right there waiting. So right now, I want you to bow your head, and I want you to go to him and say, Lord, is there any area, what is the area that you want me to be reconciled to you in? And when you've done that, take the bread and take the cup with thanksgiving and thank him for what he has already done in your life. And in just a moment, after we've done that, I'll close this in prayer.
then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. Have a great week.